Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the show. This doing a show on Sunday nights and then doing it on Friday nights is kind of quick turnaround. But last week I had to change my show to Sunday nights because my wife had to do some things that I needed to be around for. So I had to cancel and then I did it on Sunday nights. I did a 3-hour show on Sunday. But NWCR Radio has been on the air for the most part of 13 years now. We have been limited to a 2-hour show because of the format of Blog Talk Radio where CNM and all of our shows are aired. Excuse me. We also have a site that we use, which is playerfm.com, where all of our shows are loaded into after they are done. So you can get all the archives of CNM shows almost since the beginning, which means that you can also get the old shows that used to air on CNM before it broke down and went on its way. But I've been working and doing ads for adding shows to CNM again. I'm going to be using a couple of them here tonight as we are in our 10th year of existence and working to grow the network again back to and even bigger than we were back in 2016, if possible. So if you have ideas for a show or you are interested in doing a show, then CNM is looking for you. If you are interested, email us at conservativenationmedia2017. I'll stick that in the chat room here. That's conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com. And that's the email to send us your ideas for a show and what you want to do. Right now, I'm in the process of trying to grow my show from 2 hours to 3 hours. The last two shows that I have done were three hours long, and it seems that there are more listeners to my show when I go that route. So we're going to continue. We're not going to do that tonight. But with the third hour, it is not available or heard from anyone unless you are on the phone with me when the second hour ends. So welcome to today's show as we strive to keep the ball rolling with what CNM refers to as the making of American greatness great again. We must stop being ashamed of this great nation, and we must start voting with our minds, not our hearts. But we must stop being ashamed, like I said, and we must start voting out all the politicians who believe in the woke mentality and believe in not following our laws, and this includes here on the southern border. That is something that must be addressed. Biden seems to think that having an open border is the way to go. And right now we have a new giant illegal invaders caravan starting to head towards our southern border, and it's coming from one of the southern states of Mexico. Estimates say that it is about 10,000 people or more who are coming because, quote, Biden told us to, unquote. America is being overrun with fentanyl and illegal invaders who care as little for our laws as our president does. That is why he is letting them in the way he is while telling the rest of us that there is nothing to worry about. Today we found out that Biden had a lesion taken from his chest that was cancerous. Now, if this same thing had happened to a Republican like Trump or Jordan or Green or any of the other conservatives, demonorats all over the nation would be cheering, and that and that would come with wishes that he or they would die as soon as possible. But even though I do not believe that Biden won the election of 2020, he is still recognized as our president. So every conservative Republican that I know are sending out prayers for his recovery. That, my friends, is the difference between conservative Republicans and liberal Democrats, in a nutshell. Welcome to our first show of March of 2023 as we head out to get you, well, I don't know why my computer does this every time I start to do a show, but it doesn't seem to want to work very well. After it gets going for a while, then it is fine. But right towards the beginning of my show is always my computer, for some reason, slows down. And I have to work on getting things going. But welcome to our first show of March of 2023 as we head out into our hour one intro with my good friend Duke Brooks.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to take.
Show me where it said that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, he kicks.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if he lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said we're in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
Okay, we are back. The call-in number is 646-478-5284. I was getting my stack of stuff ready for the show about 40 minutes ago, and I was looking through Western Journal, and this article came up as breaking news. And so I decided to put that at the front of my show. It's breaking news. General Flynn hits U.S. government with explosive $50 million lawsuit. Retired three-star general and former Trump national security advisor Michael Flynn is suing the federal government for an expected $50 million over the Department of Justice's criminal prosecution of him in 2017. Flynn's legal team notes that the beginning of a draft legal filing obtained by the Western Journal that in May of 2020, the DOJ moved to dismiss the false statement charge brought against him in November of 2017. However, D.C. District Court Judge Emmett Sullivan would not allow the charges to be dropped, even after the D.C. Court of Appeals ordered him to do so. Finally, on November 25, 2020, the then President Donald Trump pardoned Flynn, and Sullivan dismissed the case. Flynn argues in his suit that the entire case was politically motivated as part of the Crossfire Hurricane investigation, which the FBI justified in part based on the infamous dossier compiled by the former British intelligence agent Christopher Steele. And we've all found out that that was completely bonkers anyway, that it was all about lies that were told about Trump and all of the people who followed him or helped him or was in his cabinet. That dossier was paid for by the Democrat National Committee and the Hillary Clinton presidential campaign as a means to damage then GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump. Flynn's lawyers allege that having been unable to establish that Flynn was working as a Russian agent, the FBI sent agents, including Peter Strzok, to interview him at the White House on January 24th of 2017, days after Trump took office, without informing the decorated combat veteran that he was the subject of an investigation that could be criminally charged. Now, that was wrong and illegal in the first place. But Flynn, whom Trump had named as his pick for national security advisor, was charged with making a false statement regarding phone conversations that he had had with then-Russian ambassador Sergei Kislyak during the transition from the Obama to Trump administrations. Strzok told the FBI agent Joe Pienka, asked Flynn about the nature of the conversations, though they had transcripts of them and knew what was said, and that the subject matter was legitimate for the incoming national security advisor to be discussing. The pretense for having the meeting at all was to determine if Flynn had violated the Logan Act, which had never been prosecuted before, folks, by speaking to Kislyak. The Logan Act became law during the John Adams administration in 1799 and makes it a crime for unauthorized American citizens to negotiate with foreign governments. Now, do you think Flynn will win? I hope he does, because he should. It has never been successfully prosecuted, this law. During this interview, FBI agents Strzok and Pienka were attempting to trap General Flynn in a misstatement or omission so that they could charge him with a false statement violation of 18 U.S.C. Code 1001. This malicious intent continued throughout the FBI's investigation and subsequent investigation and prosecution by the special counsel's office, Flynn's court filing alleges. The motivation to have Flynn charged and removed as national security advisor was to prevent him from getting in the way of the Crossfire Hurricane investigation. Now, I'm thinking of all the information that I've gotten and all the information that I've found and all the information I'm going to be looking up. I'm going to write a book about Crossfire Hurricane. and see what the heck was going on. But it says defendants' agents were acutely aware that General Flynn, as former director of Defense Intelligence Agency, was one of the few people in the Trump White House with the authority and the intelligence background to uncover and expose the Crossfire Hurricane debacle, the lawsuit states. Timothy Shea, then U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia, wrote, quote, "The government is not persuaded that the January 24, 2017 interview was conducted with a legitimate investigative basis and therefore does not believe Mr. Flynn's statement were material, even if untrue," unquote. Moreover, he goes on to say, quote, "Moreover, we do not believe that the government can prove either the relevant false statements or their materiality beyond a reasonable doubt," unquote. Now, Flynn's suit says the federal government's prosecution of him cost him tens of millions of dollars, and it probably did. The suit says, quote, "As a direct and proximate result of defendants' actions, General Flynn suffered harm. He was falsely branded as a traitor to his country, lost at least tens of millions of dollars of business opportunities and future lifetime earning potential, was maliciously prosecuted, and spent substantial monies in his own defense," unquote. ABC News reported in 2018 that Flynn was selling his Alexandria, Virginia home to help pay for his legal bills. In light of the federal government's wrongful and malicious prosecution, Flynn's legal team anticipates that a trial court will determine the compensatory damages due him exceed $50 million. Now, this is something that really just came out just a little bit before I started the show. I got somebody who's calling area code 317. You're on the air.
You know, Judge Solomon should be removed.
Yeah, I agree.
He should be removed on cause of bad behavior, as stipulated in the Constitution for federal judges. He was given an order by an appellate judge, which is above him, and he didn't follow it. He's either crazy or he's playing on his black privileges. Either way, he needs to be removed.
I totally agree with that, but because, you know, he's on the Democrat side on this, I seriously doubt if anything will ever happen to him.
Well, what are the Republicans going to do? Remove judges that's on their side? People need to demand.
I really have no idea.
People need to demand. You know, that's another thing. People don't demand nothing, probably because they don't know any better.
Yeah,
and just
exactly.
As you said, you got these buses coming out of Mexico. I guess that was, yeah. Your show. But why is states allowing these people to come into their state is another reason. The states have the ability, the authority to stop them.
I know Arizona was putting up barriers to keep them out. New Mexico, on the other hand, we have an evil governor who does everything that Biden or the left wants her to do. So she isn't going to do anything about it until people here in this state get smart enough to remove her from office. So that's one of the problems there.
Well, I don't know about the people nowadays. You seemingly that you can't depend on them to do even a minuscule amount of good, and hell, those that running amok responsible. Yeah, it just baffles me anymore. It kind of reminds me of Kerry during the Vietnam War. He was one of the most despicable individuals who speak out against the war. And then tried to lie on soldiers and said that they were accused of doing things that they never did do. That's just terrible.
And then on top of that, he tried to push out the idea that he was a hero.
Well, they all do that.
Yeah.
But no, that's what I wanted to comment on. That Sullivan, he's terrible. And I wish there was some way that we could directly speak to them or speak loud enough where he could overhear. But the man is totally terrible. He needs to be removed. This stuff about appointing people to these positions because of the color of their skin, I see where you had another individual who was up to be the head of the FAA, and he has never even flown a plane.
Yeah.
I can't understand it. It seems like they have moved all the meritocracy out of holding the position. It's based now on skin color and whether or not you are a member of some hard to pronounce, a hard to figure out organization. It's just gotten crazy.
Yeah, and I was looking at a thing on, was watching Newsmax just before, a couple hours before I started watching, before I started getting ready for the show, and they had an article in on there about a school that actually had people who were beating up kids and making them say Black Lives Matter.
Oh, yeah, you see white kids getting beat the hell out of them lately. Nothing is said. Nothing whatsoever. And I'm called it. I'm black. I'm a United States black American. And I say that that kind of crap needs to be, people that's doing that need to be prosecuted.
Yeah.
The thing
I always look at in that one is that I would really be, I wouldn't want to say Black Lives Matter, but what I would like to say is that all lives matter. It's not just black or brown or white or anything. It's all lives matter to me, you know, and that's the way they should look at it, I think, because we're all equally as important, I would, you know, when it comes down to that.
Well, that's not what these progressives think about. You look at the, here they now, they want the DOJ say that Donald Trump could be sued for the January 6th protest.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to accuse, say, the police officer that was injured can sue him civilly. Well, what about the things that the people like Maxine Waters say? Why is she afforded that type of qualified immunity? When the President of the United States, even though he didn't do it, well, doesn't qualified immunity apply to him also?
You would think so, but, you know, what Maxine Waters said was more divisive and more towards trying to get violence going than what Trump said. You know, Trump said go out peacefully, you know, and Maxine Waters didn't do that. She just said,
no,
you
she
get
did
out
not.
And get in their faces and make sure that they know they're not welcome. You know?
That's right. And when she said make sure, that can include a whole host of activities.
Oh, absolutely.
Make sure.
Absolutely. And,
well, look,
you know,
I'm going to let you get back to your show. I'll continue listening in the background until I hear something that's just so disturbing I have to call.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling. God bless you.
God bless you.
Okay. Another article that I had found shortly before the show was one that had the headline, ouch, 11 House Democrats reportedly snubbed Biden for a concert. And this one was something that came out actually today. President Joe Biden was the featured speaker at a Democratic caucus issues conference Wednesday. But nearly a dozen members of the House and several senators skipped the event to attend a concert instead. Over a dozen Democrat elected officials decided to pass on President Joe Biden's speech in Maryland Wednesday, opting instead to attend a Joni Mitchell concert. The president was speaking at the House Democratic Caucus retreat on a myriad of issues, including, of course, gun control, the debt ceiling and the Ukraine war. When it comes to the debt ceiling, most politicians anymore do not look at it as a ceiling, or they look at it as something that can be raised anytime they need it. And when this country was first founded, when America had a debt to someone else, we paid it off before we made another one. And anymore, it's like they have this doomsday type clock that shows the trillions of dollars that are being added to our debt constantly. And you can't even count how fast that is going up. Maybe if you went up 100 at a time or 1,000 at a time, you might be able to keep up, but it's going up so fast right now that it staggers the mind. It really makes me wonder just what is going on and why we have to spend so much money when we don't have the money. One thing that people don't seem to realize here is that without the American taxpayer, the government's broke. The government has no money without the American taxpayer. And if the people would just sit down and think about this for a little bit and say, okay, fine, you guys want to take advantage of us? Then let's take advantage of you. When, like here in New Mexico, one of the things that's still going on, and it's ridiculous, and everybody in these hospitals agree with me on this, but you go into a hospital here in Albuquerque, and you are required to wear a mask. Even though masks have been proven to not work, that if you my mind just went blank. But if you decide that you do not want to wear a mask, they will throw you out. They won't let you get your stuff done to you that is needed. Now, this next month, I am going in to get some eye surgery, and thankfully, I don't have to go to one of these things. I have to go to Eye Associates here in Albuquerque, and they don't require that I wear a mask. But if you go into a hospital, just to walk into a hospital, even now, you have to wear a mask, even though it's been proven they don't work. And this is getting stupid, folks. But the president, according to the Punchbowl News, 11 House Democrats, many from the party's progressive wing, which is right there with Biden, preferred to stay in Washington for the concert. The 11 included Pramila Jayapal of Washington State, Katie Porter and Mark Takano of California, freshman Maxwell Frost of Florida, Dan Kildee and Hillary Scholten of Michigan, Earl Blumenauer of Oregon, some of these names are, Steve Cohen of Tennessee, Lloyd Doggett and Greg Kassar of Texas, and Andy Kim of New Jersey. Joni Mitchell was an acclaimed singer-songwriter, was honored by the Library of Congress, receiving a Gershwin Prize for her work. According to Fox News, three Democrat senators were also present at the concert: Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, Patty Murray of Washington, and Jack Reed of Rhode Island, along with several prominent Republicans, including House Speaker Kevin McCarthy of California. While most of the Democrat caucus was in attendance for Biden's address in Baltimore, the apparent lack of enthusiasm has left many observers wondering what the president's party thinks about his prospects. During his speech, Biden vowed to pass and institute strident gun law, gun control legislation focusing on assault weapons. And there's that word again. Assault weapons do not exist except in a liberal's mind. Essentially, what they're trying to do, folks, is to say, okay, we're putting a ban on assault weapons. Well, if you look at it, every gun in the world, with their definition, is an assault weapon. So they're in the process, folks, of taking everything away from us. The Second Amendment be damned. We don't have the right to have our own guns because they say so. It is time the people started to realize what is going on. It is time we started to fight back. It is time we started to do something about all of this, because the Democrats right now are pushing agendas that are unconstitutional and illegal. But they don't care. They do not care one little bit, because that is exactly what they want. They want all of us to be underneath their thumb, and there's nothing that we should be able to do about it. We will be right back with more of NWCR's Truth Festival. Stay tuned. Conservative Nation Media, or CNM, is looking to bring in new shows so we can reach more people. We report the truth, not the spin of the liberal mainstream media. We worry because laws are not being enforced, and if you tell the truth, you could lose everything. You can't even walk in once safe neighborhoods. You are likely to get killed doing that. Right now, we have two shows, NWCR Radio and Black by Color Only. American by Design is on hiatus. We believe in God, law and order, and the Constitution. We believe our borders must be closed to illegals, and there are only two sexes, and we honor our veterans and our boys in blue, too. If you like expressing the truth and love for America, send us an email to Conservative Nation Media, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Tell us your show ideas, and we will get back with you. We are Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. Join us today. By Color Only Day here on CNM with our very own Vincent Brown out of Durham, North Carolina. Black by Color Only is one of the most informative shows on CNM, giving us the reasons that the apostles of blackness are leading this nation in the wrong direction, along with the left. And Vincent will come down on the right too when they do not do what is right. Listen to the wisdom of Vincent Brown on Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will find out that the media is lying to us too, along with the leftists in our government. Some of the right are too, and in Hollywood also. He will make you use your mind and think a bit before making a rash judgment. That is Black by Color Only, only on CNM at 5 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays, where America always wins. 646-478-5284. Continuing with what I was talking about, during his speech, Biden vowed to pass and institute strident gun control legislation focusing on assault weapons. And you heard what I said about that. He said, "I know it may make some of you uncomfortable, but that little state above me, Delaware, is one of them, has the highest rate, one of the highest rates of gun ownership." And Biden thinks that's wrong. But guess what? We're going to ban assault weapons again, come hell or high water, and high capacity magazines, when we did it last time to reduce mass deaths. That was not the only part of the speech that drew the ire of critics, and it should have, because one of the things he never talks about here is that all of these mass shootings that they've been having, like in the schools and things like that, are in gun-free zones. These are places where guns are not, by law, allowed, but it's still happening. So shouldn't that tell them that making new laws will not help either? Criminals are not going to follow laws. But Biden also referenced the opioid crisis by bringing up the criticisms made by Rebecca Kessling, who lost two of her sons to fentanyl overdoses after they unknowingly ingested painkillers laced with the deadly drug, as reported by Fox. And I talked about this one last week. He laughed at her. The interesting thing is that fentanyl the boys took came from the last administration, Biden said while laughing. Look, folks, anyway, I don't want to get started. Kessling was not pleased. As President Biden was speaking about his mother, who lost her two sons, he starts to laugh. "This is how you speak about the death of my sons? Because a congresswoman misspoke, you mock the loss of my sons? How dare you? What is the matter with you?" she said in the statement. Biden don't care. He does not care. These latest gaffes and unpopular policy decisions have caused many Democrats to wonder if Biden is their best bet for 2024. It's about time they're starting to think about this one, which could see a possible rematch with former President Donald Trump. A poll by NBC News Washington Post found that 6 in 10 Democrats would prefer someone else as the nominee. But he don't care. President's advanced age and questions about his mental capacity are at the forefront of many Democrat concerns. He's done a fine job. That's not an issue, the Democrat voter Stephen Kotair said. What's his mental state going to be another 6 years from now if he would be president again? And that is a good question, folks. His mental state is not good right now, so that's where we are on that. Today, or yesterday, actually, I think it was, Richard Alex Murdoch, the disgraced South Carolina lawyer who was found guilty of killing his wife and son, was sentenced to life in prison on Friday. Well, that was actually today. A South Carolina jury on Thursday declared Murdoch, 54, guilty on 2 counts of gunning down his wife, Maggie, 52, and youngest son, Paul, 22, on their family estate on June 7th, 2021. At a hearing on Friday, Circuit Court Judge Clifton Newman sentenced Murdoch to prison for the remainder of his natural life for the murders. Murdoch, the scion of an influential legal family in the area west of Charleston, had faced a minimum of 30 years in prison for each of the 2 counts of murder under South Carolina law. Prosecutors had sought a sentence of life without parole. Murdoch, the case has drawn intense media coverage given the family's political power in and around Colton County, where the trial took place. For decades until 2006, the family members served as the leading prosecutor in the area, and Murdaugh was a prominent personal injury attorney for the Deep South State. Throughout the trial, prosecutors portrayed him as a serial liar and argued that only he had the means and the opportunity to commit the murders. Prosecutors said he gunned down his wife and son to distract from an array of financial misdeeds, including the theft of millions of dollars from his law partners and clients, money used to feed a years-long addiction to opioids, and support an expensive lifestyle. They floated alternative theories, with Murdaugh testifying that he believes someone angry over a deadly 2019 boating accident involving Paul was likely sought revenge on his son. Murdaugh pleaded not guilty but admitted to lying about his whereabouts on the night of the murders after the evidence emerged, placing him at the scene, denting his credibility with the jury. It doesn't matter who your family is. It doesn't matter how much money you have, Crichton Waters, the lead prosecutor, said after the verdict on Thursday. If you do wrong, if you break the law, if you murder, then justice will be done in South Carolina. Well, it needs to be done everywhere else in this nation, too, because there's a lot of people who are getting away with this shit. Jim Griffin, one of the defense lawyers, described the state's alleged motive as preposterous during his closing argument on Thursday, arguing the murders would have only drawn more scrutiny to Murdaugh's financial misdeeds. Griffin also accused investigators of fabricating evidence and repeatedly stressed the high legal bar in criminal cases of proving guilt beyond a reasonable doubt, underscoring the challenge facing prosecutors who built their case largely on circumstantial rather than direct evidence. But in the end, jurors did not believe Murdaugh's account. Prosecutors focused on his credibility, coming back time and again to his admission that he lied about something as critical as to where he was when his wife and child were killed. That was the biggie, I think, and it should be, folks. Judge Newman told jurors they made the right call, describing the evidence against Murdaugh as overwhelming. Circumstantial evidence, direct evidence, all of the evidence pointed to only one conclusion, and that's the conclusion that you all reached, he said on Thursday. And when Newsmax showed this, there was absolutely, on the face of Murdaugh, there was absolutely no emotion. It didn't even look like he had a soul when all of this came down. And folks, the things that really bother me about what is going on in the United States today is that we have all these people who are breaking laws, doing things that used to get you thrown in jail, at least thrown in prison for a decade or more. And these people are all claiming, oh no, I didn't do that. You can't prove it. And if you can't prove it and you don't have anything showing that I was actually there, then I didn't do it. It's like Lori Lightfoot yesterday or the other day got informed that she lost her bid to become reelected as Chicago's mayor. So what did she do? Instead of saying to herself, oh, well, I guess it's probably because I didn't do a good job, which she didn't, she turns around and says, no, the reason why I wasn't reelected or given the chance to be reelected here is because this whole thing is racist. And there's the big R word again. Racist, folks. I don't think the left knows anymore what racists really are. I grew up in the 50s and 60s. I remember the civil rights movements. I remember the stuff that was going on. I had many friends that were black. I had many friends that were Mexican. And we always played together and had fun together because it didn't matter. You can't do that kind of thing anymore without being castigated for being a racist or for being something that you don't want to hear. And it seems like most people anymore would rather not do anything at all than be called the R word. To me, I don't really care. They can call me racist all they want. I'm not. I know I'm not. I wasn't raised to be, so I'm not. And if the left comes out and calls me a racist because of what they think, I just look at how many lies have come out of the left over the last couple of years, or actually the last whole bunch of years for that matter. If the left comes along and calls you a racist, or somebody like Lori Lightfoot comes along and calls you a racist, you shouldn't worry about that at all. Because the real racists are people like Lori Lightfoot, who will fall back on racism every time things don't go their way. I found another article that actually goes against Biden. Arizona sheriff reveals what illegals say to officials after crossing the U.S. border. And this one was yesterday. Arizona officials sounded the alarm about the devastating, pervasive impact the mass illegal immigration, and I call it illegal invasion, being incentivized by the Biden administration as is having on their communities. Pinal County Sheriff Mark Lamb testified Tuesday before the House Committee on Homeland Security as part of its hearing titled "Every State is a Border State, Examining Secretary Mayorkas' Border Crisis." Lamb blamed President Joe Biden for incentivizing unfettered illegal immigration that fuels horrifying human and drug trafficking by violent cartels. When we ask people why they came here, he said, they said, because Joe Biden said we could. And this is the reality of what we deal with every day, he said. So clearly the policies that have been, whether you call them open borders or not, they are affecting people coming here, and the cartels are taking advantage and marketing to people in other countries to come. The sheriff noted that illegal aliens themselves are being abused, raped, and enslaved by the cartels that our policies have encouraged. So I think Biden needs to be guilty of all of this. We, and by default, our lack of policies or weak border security is actually bringing those people to the doorsteps of the cartels to be enslaved, to be taken advantage of, Lamb said. The sheriff said in addition to the property destruction and rampant littering that accompanies unfettered illegal invasions, they call it immigration. I refuse to do that because they're not immigrants. They're not. The migrants themselves or the invaders themselves are often brutally victimized during their dangerous journey. The people are being tricked and trapped into coming here by these cartels because of our policies or lack thereof, Lamb testified. When they come here, the women are being raped. We had a woman we caught a while back with a baggie full of pills. And we said, what are these pills? And she said, when I came across the border, I knew I'd be raped multiple times. These are morning after pills. He said. Lamb continued, have we lost our moral compass so bad that we put politics in front of people? They're raping the women, raping the children, using them as pawns, oftentimes putting them into sex trade here in America. Slavery is super prolific nowadays. Unquote. The sheriff also underscored that the terrifying border crisis that the Biden administration is encouraging has a wide range ripple effect on the entire nation. What we miss, unfortunately, has a ripple effect on the rest of the nation, rest of the country. These things were not designed to stay in my county, Lamb said in a prepared statement. And they only pass through on their way to North Carolina, New York, Alabama, New Mexico, Colorado, and every other state in this country. What is in my backyard today will be in all of your front yards tomorrow. Lamb added, our biggest frustration stems from being told by this administration and the media that there is not a crisis at our southern border. I live down here, folks. I know it. I see it constantly. One of the things that I'm in the process of doing now is filming a new intro for my daily updates that I do. And part of that intro that I want to film is down in the area of Albuquerque that I used to live in. Now, 35 years ago, when I used to live down there, I could be, there was a Safeway store there, and it's not Safeway anymore. It's a closed up store, but, and there's a fence around it now, so you can't get in, but it was open 24 hours a day. And my dad would decide in the middle of the night that he needed something that we didn't have in the house. He'd say, why don't you go down to the Safeway and get me this so we can have it in the house. Well, I'd walk down there three blocks away, 1 o'clock in the morning. Didn't bother me in the least. Nobody bothered me. Nobody did anything to me. Nowadays, you get killed. You try and walk in a neighborhood like that at nighttime, you're likely not to come back. They call it the war zone now, mainly because of the gangs and the drugs that are down there. And the apartment that me and my dad lived in is still there. The neighborhood still looks pretty much the same where I used to live. But you can see the ravages of the people who are living on the streets down there. But that, I kind of got distracted there. But Lamb said, our biggest frustration stems from being told by this administration and the media that there is not a crisis at our southern border, and the lie that our southern border is secure. Clearly, our statistics tell a different story, and that story is that the border is not secure. Dr. Robert Trensell, the CEO of the Yuma Regional Medical Center, also testified at the hearing about how the surge of illegal immigrants hampers the hospital's ability to care for local residents. Trenchell said his 406-bed hospital is being barraged by illegal immigrants suffering from a variety of health problems, including numerous pregnant women who require urgent care. Providing this mass scale of treatment is prohibitively expensive and interferes with the hospital's capacity to care for local residents for whom the medical center was constructed in the first place. We have had migrant patients on dialysis, cardiac catheterization, and in need of heart surgery, Trenchell said in a statement. Many are very sick. They have long-term complications of chronic disease and have not been cared for. Some end up in the ICU for 60 days or more. One of the biggest cohorts we have seen are the maternity patients who present with little or no prenatal care. These higher risk pregnancies and births result in higher complication rates and longer hospital stays. Due to the lack of prenatal care, many of these babies require a stay in our neonatal intensive care unit, some for a month or more at a time. Trenchell said the 11 months between December 2021 and November 2022 alone, the Yuma Regional Medical Center has provided $26 million in uncompensated care to illegal aliens. Let me assure you, it is not an approximation, he said. That number comes from a detailed review of unpaid patient bills directly attributed to migrant patients. $26 million in uncompensated care is not a substantial business model, or not a sustainable business model. No business or service can survive ongoing large-scale expense without any offsetting revenue. Trenchell said these off-the-charts expenses could bankrupt the hospital, could bankrupt any hospital for that matter. Moreover, he said, it's unfair to the community. We cannot provide completely free care to the residents of our community, so the situation is not fair and is understandably concerning to them, he said. One hospital should not and cannot bear the health care costs of a national migrant problem that is deeply impacting Arizona and our community. But Biden is accelerating the collapse of the United States by undermining national security and public safety with his destructive immigration policy. Something must be done immediately to stem this crisis. And this is from the Southwest here, folks. Albuquerque is like 300-some miles away from the border. And Albuquerque is directly impacted with what is going on down there. This people think that, well, if they come into the border, it's not going to affect anybody else, just the border. But it affects everyone, because what Biden is doing is releasing these people into the rest of the United States. They say they cannot figure out where they go. They could figure it out. Easily. They could easily figure out where all these people are. And the best thing to do is send them back to Mexico. Send them back. And then start going after the cartels for doing what they're doing. But nobody's doing anything. Nobody's following any laws. Nobody's following any, people are dying out there. Murder charges should be put against the cartels. But are they? No. Charges should be made. And as long as they're not, this is going to continue. And it's going to get worse until the American people finally come up and say, no, wait a minute, this is where it ends. Because no matter what we're thinking here, it eventually will come down to what we, the people, say. And just like with Lori Lightfoot, people are going to get freaking sick and tired of what is happening, and they're going to say, that's enough. You're gone. It can't happen soon enough for me here in New Mexico with our Wicked Witch of the North, Michelle Lujan Grisham. It can't happen fast enough for Newsom in California. It cannot happen fast enough for Maxine Waters in California. All of these people need to be prosecuted. They have all broken laws. And we cannot continue this and expect a better outcome. We'll be right back with the second hour in a few minutes. I will remain as long as you do to bring you the news of the day. We will be right back. Sky Drone Services, located in Albuquerque, New Mexico, is your one-stop shop for drone photography from a perspective that for a company was hard to get before without endangering the health of your employees. Get aerial photography easy with I Am the Sky Drone Services at 505-317-8741 and rest easy in your decision. Did you know podcast advertising is one of the most effective ways to advertise your product or service? Thousands of people could be hearing your ad here. To start boosting your business with podcast advertising, go now to conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com and send us a copy of the ad you want played, and we will do the rest. Thank you, and God bless.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. This is Kathy Henner's A Daily Roll Call, and we need more voices like Robert who aren't afraid of the wrath of the left, even when the truth is told and it doesn't fit their agenda. Now, with Biden in charge, this is more imperative than ever. From New Mexico in CNN's Freedom Studio comes the second hour of the show. And now, here again is Robert.
We're back for the second hour of our show tonight. Like I said at the beginning of the show, I'm not going to do a third hour tonight unless something happens that makes it so that I have to. But I really haven't gotten as much stuff set up like I did last week. Last week I had enough to go for 4 hours, actually, if that was all possible. But like I said, Blog Talk Radio shuts us down after 3 hours. So we cannot do a show that's more than, I think it's come down to about 3 hours and 3 minutes is the longest that we can possibly get. And at 3 hours and 3 minutes and some odd seconds, it just ends. And that's what happened to me with my show on Sunday. I was going along and I was starting to figure, okay, it's coming up on the end now. I need to start getting ready to end it. And it just, I was in the process of saying this is, you know, the end of the show. And it just ended right in mid-sentence. So it's something that I've got to figure out when this happens, what time that it does it. And if I've got 3 minutes after the starting of the hour, then I've got to really make sure that I don't go beyond that and end the show before that. But our, like I said, our call-in number is 646-478-5284. From the Daily Caller yesterday, I found this headline that says, trans teacher with giant prosthetic breasts placed on leave. And all I can say is, they're teaching our children, folks. They do idiotic, stupid things like this and then call it racism or homophobic if we say anything about it. But Kayla Lemieux, a man, transgender Canadian teacher who wore a Z-cup prosthetic breast with protruding nipples to class and was placed on, this is where it goes wrong. He was placed on paid leave. It should be totally unpaid. That should be the end of it, folks. But Tuesday, he was placed on paid leave Tuesday after a prolonged public battle between concerned parents and the local school board that supported the teacher, according to the Toronto Sun. Lemieux, who also wears a blonde wig and women's clothing to class, has claimed the breasts are natural and a result of gigantomastia and hormone sensitivity to estrogen, according to the Sun. But the New York Post recently photographed him as a man who was identified as Lemieux, with no visible breasts and wearing men's clothing, sparking further outrage among concerned local parents, according to the Sun. Lemieux has since claimed that the photograph was of someone else, which the Post disputes. While not currently on an active assignment, the teacher remains employed with the HDSB, or the Halton District School Board. Board spokesman Heather Franchi said, according to the Sun, anonymous sources reportedly told the Sun the teacher would not be allowed back in the classroom without proof of the gigantomastia diagnosis. A neighbor, and actually, this is where they're going completely wrong here. I don't care if he comes up with the diagnosis for them. He should never be allowed back into class. These are our children that these morons are putting, that are morons are teaching. What? How do you think they can end up normal if we have someone like this teaching them? A neighbor recently claimed the teacher rarely wears the prosthetic breasts at home and primarily wears them to teach. The Ontario Ministry of Education did not respond to the Daily Caller's News Foundation's request for comment. Of course not. They don't want to get caught. But they have been, folks. This is ridiculous. This is offensive. That's all there is to it. It is offensive that this is allowed when it comes to our children. There is no wonder there's so many kids out there that have mental problems. They're getting them from school. That's one of the reasons why if I had kids that were school age right now, they would be going to my church's school, the Legacy School, which is a private school, but they will not teach these woke things. They will not teach transgenderism. They will not teach anything like this because it's not true. It's all false. It's all fake and something the left wants to push on our kids. Hello, Duck Northwest. Good to see you there. This is something that we need to try. This is something we need to stop, folks. To have our children being taught by LGBTQ, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, whatever people who will push their agenda on our children. No wonder our kids are disturbed. It's no wonder our kids are don't know which way is right, which way is wrong, because they're not being taught right. They're not being taught what is wrong and why you shouldn't be doing it. They're just being taught that if you feel like you're a girl today, you can be a girl. Never in this is the idea that when you were born a male or a female, period. You will never be able to change that. No matter how much surgery you go through, no matter how much stuff you go through, you are still what you were born. And now they're trying to make it so that when you're born, you can't be named as a boy or girl, because they think that that's going to hurt you in the long run. No, what's hurting our kids, folks, is the liberal bastions that are teaching our kids that they can be anything they want, whether they can or not. And that story that I started to talk about earlier about Biden laughing after talking to a mom who lost her sons to the fentanyl crisis. This is something else. We have got to stop this. We're losing our country. We are losing our sanity, folks. And anyone right now who comes out and says there are only two sexes, male and female, you could possibly lose your job over this. When what is being pushed is an out-and-out lie. But you won't get in trouble for telling the lie. You'll get in trouble for telling the truth. And it's coming down on our kids, too. And this is where we've got to stop this. We've got to put an end to this before we destroy a whole generation. Used to be when I was growing up, if you went to Disneyland, that was the neatest place in the world to be. Nowadays, they're doing the same darn thing. But this article that I started to talk about was from the Western Journal, and the headline of it was, "An Evil Man. Biden proceeds to laugh after talking about mom who lost sons to fentanyl crisis." President Joe Biden speaks during the House Democratic Caucus Issues Conference at the Hyatt Regency Inner Harbor in Baltimore on Wednesday. Biden is being called out after he laughed Wednesday while he dismissed the pain of a mother whose sons died when they overdosed after accidentally ingesting fentanyl. Well, the fentanyl wouldn't be here if the southern border was closed and they were not allowed to bring all this stuff in. It's one of the reasons why we're constantly saying you have an open border and it makes every state a border state, because they're going to get into every state. Not just here in New Mexico, not just in Arizona or Texas. They're ending up in New York. They're ending up in Michigan, Montana, in the Northwest. But the chuckle came as he defended himself from blame for the deaths, which he noted occurred before he took office. He made no mention of the fact fentanyl overdose deaths have increased rapidly under his watch. He and his administration, of course, refused to secure the country's sovereign southern border, which would go a long ways towards saving lives. Republican Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia caught Biden's attention when she slammed the government for doing nothing about the drug crisis on Twitter. "Listen to this mother," Green tweeted a day before. who lost two children to the fentanyl poisoning, tell the truth about both of her sons' murders because of the Biden administration's refusal to secure our border and stop the cartels from murdering Americans every day by Chinese fentanyl. Ghislaine Maxwell reportedly thrown, Green's post contained a video of an interaction between a House hearing exchange between her and Rebecca Kessling, whose sons died when they mistakenly took fentanyl in July of 2020. Kessling is one of the hundreds of thousands of parents whose lives have been shattered in recent years by the poison that is illegally imported into our country every day. Biden was in Baltimore addressing the House Democratic Caucus Issues Conference when he invoked Green. Biden said, "Isn't she amazing? She was very specific recently saying that a mom, a poor mother who lost two kids to fentanyl, that I killed her sons." Well, the interesting thing is that fentanyl they took came from the last administration, Biden concluded, laughing. Biden was excoriated over his apathy towards a mother who must wake up every day with the reality that she has lost her two sons. "An evil man," said Christina Pushaw, an aide to the Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Biden might not have been in office at the time of Kessling's sons died, but he has helped to exacerbate the crisis that killed them, as he tends to do with every existing issue the country faces. He owns a share of the blame for every American who has died since his administration inspired drug dealers to expand their footprint to the country. And now that that is happening, folks, it's in our schools. That means our kids. Why are we not doing something? To me, if I ever ran for office, and I've thought about it, but if I ever ran for office, the first thing I would want to do is the right thing. I wouldn't want to be in office and have history say, "Boy, he was the worst that we have ever had in that position because he wouldn't do the right things. He wouldn't follow the laws." And it's the same thing, you know, with Lori Lightfoot losing her position as mayor of Chicago, and on top of that, claiming that it was racist that she lost her position. No, it wasn't. What was the cause of her losing her position is because she didn't do her job. She wouldn't follow the laws. She wouldn't follow the laws and let the police do what they needed to do. And every week we'd hear these stories about how many people were killed in Chicago while she was saying, "Oh, there's nothing wrong. Everything's fine." It's just like Biden right now. He's saying that the inflation rate in this country, even at 6%, is still better than the last administration. Inflation when Trump was in office was at 1.3, something like that. So how can what we have now be better than it was when Trump was in office? The only way to explain that is that the Democrats didn't like Trump. They didn't want him there. They don't want any Republican there. They want to get rid of the Republicans all total. And a lot of them should be gotten rid of. Don't get me wrong on this one. There are a lot of Republicans out there who are not doing the correct things. McConnell was one. He would do the right thing when it really came down to it. But for the most part, he sided with the Democrats. A lot of the elite Republicans side with the Democrats. And this has got to stop. So like I said in one of my updates this last week, about 75%, maybe a little lower than that right now, because there's a lot of new Republicans in there. They're actually doing what they should be doing. But about 75% of Republicans need to go. 100% of Democrats need to go. We need to completely clear out the swamp and get rid of these idiots before they destroy this country anymore. And this whole thing about parents losing their kids to stuff that shouldn't even be in here, in this nation, because the southern border down here is open. Biden tells everybody it's closed, but I can assure you, I live down here, it isn't. It's wide open. I mean, it's just like there's a freeway comes through. That's how many people are coming in. And right now we have 10,000 more coming from a southern Mexican state that are heading for the border. How are we going to take care of all these people? They need to be stopped before they even get here. But what's going to happen is they're going to hit the border with such numbers that the Border Patrol won't be able to do anything about it. Many of them will be stopped and sent back to Mexico. But by that term, many of them will be gotaways and will get into the United States and they'll be gone. They'll go to California. They'll go to New Mexico. They'll go to Colorado. They'll go to New York. Anywhere that they can go, they will go. And then they will demand that they be taken care of. On whose dime? Not theirs, I guarantee you. The people putting out the money for all of this that's coming into this nation are us, the taxpayers. And it's the idea that all of this is happening and there's nothing we can do about it. Oh, there's plenty we can do about it. There is plenty we can do about it. And we have to start doing stuff about it, because each week I get more and more stuff as I look at the news. And I look at all of it. I look at CNN too. God, that's a joke. But I look at all of the news and then I try and put it together as to what's really going on. It's not easy to do. But it's a hell of a lot easier than it used to be. Of course, for 13 million Americans now, Newsmax is no longer around because DirecTV got rid of them, just like they got rid of One America News last year. But the thing that they made the mistake with then on this thing is that Newsmax is fighting back. Thankfully, I still get Newsmax. I don't pay for my TV. I bought a couple of years ago an LG TV, and it came loaded with a whole bunch of channels. One of the local channels here in town is One America News. That kind of surprised me, being as that Albuquerque is a liberal bastion for liberal stupidity. But One America News is there. And on the channels that are actually built into the TV, one of them is Newsmax. And I watch that all the time. But right next to it is like MSNBC, and then you've got CNN in there. They're all there. So I can look at them and see what each one of them is saying and then research and try to figure out what is going on. It takes a lot of work. But it's like I was saying earlier in the show, one of the things that we are looking to do right now is grow conservative nation media. If we can find some people who want to express their opinions, who want to do what I do, what Vincent Brown on Saturday does. Conservative Nation Media would like to talk to you. And I put the email address in the chat room. It's conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com. If you ever, hey, Sarge, how are you today? If you ever want to do a show, that would be the way to do it. But the things that's going on, this whole idea of this one, of Biden laughing about a mom who lost her sons to fentanyl. These men in office should be held to a higher standard. But they're not. No, nothing's being said about what the president did, except on shows like this one or like on Vince's show tomorrow. If he doesn't mention it, I'd be kind of surprised. But then again, there's so much going on now that we could have a show every day of the week and still not cover the same thing twice. And good to see you there, Sarge. I'm glad to see you there. I just got a phone call. And hello.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Sarge. How you doing there, boss? What have I missed?
I'm having a lot of fun tonight, actually.
How can you possibly have fun given the parlous state of our republic and our so-called democracy?
Well, I'm having fun exposing these idiots for what they are. Although, you know, sadly, I don't get heard by a whole hell of a lot of people, but there are people who hear me, and I get new ones every week.
Man, now I know there's a reason I called in. Now you just cheered me up. Thank you, man. I really appreciate that. Man, I was beginning to go into deep depression. Say, oh, I might as well give up. Nah, I'm just kidding, man. Hey, look, is this a directed show? I mean, is there any particular thing you want to talk about or anything? Because I'm coming in kind of late here.
Well, I've just been talking about the stupid things that are going on here in the southern border. I just got through talking about Biden laughing at this mother who lost two sons to fentanyl. I've talked about our demonic governor who my pastor in my church calls the Wicked Witch of the North. So practically anything you want to talk about would probably be right down our alley.
Well, thank you. I'll tell you, man, if you're looking for any sort of gravitas or meaning or anything at all with any intellectual depth or genuine empathetic reactions or anything remotely like that, it is impossible to expect to get it from Joe Biden. He is literally a man that is hollow at his core. I suspect he doesn't have a soul. I mean, a soul in the sense that something is divine about it. He is a corruptocrat. He is a marionette. He is a puppet. He's a marionette whose strings are being pulled by others. Every single belief system this man has ever expressed as a matter of public policy in the past, whether it's racial policies, foreign policies, economic policies, educational policies, you name it. He has had a completely contrary decision just a couple of decades ago, and now he has almost a 180-degree opposite position today with no significant explanation as to what caused him to change them. There's nothing there. The only
He's actually tried to tell us that he has never changed.
See, that's what I mean. It literally is whatever he has to say to survive, stay in power, and maintain the grift is what he's going to do. He senses that his party, because he doesn't have that much, he never had much intelligence. He did have a certain dynamism about him. you know, sort of manic dynamism about him once, but he never had much in the way of intelligence, utterly no depth whatsoever, a complete prevaricator, plagiarist, and liar of the first rank. That he was. He was sterling at those things. But when it comes to a belief system, he is nothing there. His party has veered to the radical left-wing fringe that was once upon a time confined to the Frankfurt Institute and all those people trying to wreck Western civilization and particularly the Constitutional Republic of the United States. Now he knows the party's been hijacked by those people. So now he allies himself with them in their belief systems simply to stay afloat and maintain his grip. That's it. There's nothing there. The statements he made about this woman's son or the sloughing it off the way he did is entirely consistent of a man with no core.
Exactly.
I don't know how we can expect anything else. I certainly don't.
Well,
he talked about decorating some guy in a battlefield that he never did. He just makes up things we didn't have to. I mean, it's amazing. You have this, you've got this pathological appetite to just make up things out of thin air that never happened or easily verifiably never to have happened, and he just does it over and over and over and over again. And so we don't notice. It's
kind of like John Kerry.
He's worse. At least when John Kerry kind of knows when to stop it when he's been found out. He's just utterly unself-aware.
Yeah.
Just the grift, about the grift and the corruption and maintaining influence and power. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
There's nothing at all for the American people. No American president who actually was concerned about the welfare of his country would ever, under any rubric of whatsoever, not even George W. Bush, would allow this invasion on the southern border. It would be unthinkable. I mean, well, he's over there telling us how we got to protect the sacrosanct borders of Ukraine and how we have to keep the Russians out of Ukraine. It wasn't but 190,000 Russians that initially went into the country in the first place. This sumbitch done let in 2.5 million this year.
Yep.
He let 200 million invaders in our borders. The Russians only said 190,000. Yeah, they had tanks and heavy artillery and ground attack aircraft and whatnot, but still... You know, I mean, the magnitude of the numbers he's letting in surely must counterbalance somewhat that Russian invasion. But that gets him hot. That's the only thing, that's the only border that gets him hot to trot. Man, he gets him down the podium, he'll pound that podium, so he got to show Vladimir Putin. He might have even blown up the Nord Stream pipeline to do it in support of it. Think about it for a minute. There's incredible reports out there that the United States and or United States allies blew up the Nord Stream pipeline, and if that is true, and I don't know if it's true, but it certainly looks credible since he said publicly they weren't going to allow the Nord Stream pipeline to continue. Just watch me, he said.
Yep.
If he did that, then he's not only committed an act of war against Russia, but against our very NATO allies.
Mm-hmm.
This is just amazing. I mean, this is the most amazingly corruptocrat. I didn't think you could be a worse president than Barack Obama, Jimmy Carter. I didn't think that was possible. But Lord have mercy, Joe Biden is infinitely worse by orders of magnitude.
Yeah. I totally agree with you on that one.
I just didn't think it was possible. And, and when you look at all the other things that have been going on around this administration. Well, now we got the January 6th videos. I can't wait to see. I've seen a little bit of some of this video, and it's already, as far as I'm concerned, it has shot enormous holes in the narrative from the January 6th committee, that kangaroo court they put on up there trying to make us pretend it had any era of legitimacy whatsoever when it had utterly none. It was literally a lynch mob and a congressional kangaroo court. There was nothing there at all other than the Democrats' attempt to destroy Donald Trump.
Well, you know,
running.
The one thing that I've noticed is that they're trying to say that he, you know, that now they're saying that he can be sued for what he said on January 6th when all he said was peacefully go out and protest. You know, and the difference between what he was saying is a protest is only a protest when you don't riot. And all of the stuff that was going on between with Obama and Biden were riots. They were not protests.
Look, we've got to understand the neo-Marxist progressive left, and we and some of us, since you're a decent guy, and most of the people I speak to or have known are decent guys, even decent guys who are clued in on what's going on cannot understand the depths of depravity sometimes of the neo-Marxist left. They simply redefine words to mean what they mean. It's like Humpty Dumpty and Alice in Wonderland. The words mean what I intend them to mean and nothing more.
Mm-hmm.
So if Trump says peacefully protest, the left would tell you he didn't mean to peacefully protest. He meant to insurrect and sedition the United States of America. That's what he actually meant. Just like, you know, a transgender man is a woman, and a transgender man can become pregnant. See, all they have to do is say it. I don't think we appreciate the depths of depravity of the left. They use words to wage lawfare. They have no core other than the will to power. I used to think when I believed this, are you overstating things, Sarge? I mean, nobody can be like this. But then I looked at all of the regimes throughout history, since the 20th century, that have been inspired by Marxism, neo-Marxism, communism, and socialism. And the worst of them, the most anti-human, the most destructive, the most genocidal, the most murderous, have always been inspired by that philosophy.
Yep.
And wouldn't you know it, our version of them are into the culture of death, euthanasia, homosexual marriage, transgenderism, sexual mutilation of children, puberty blockers, and all this Mengele-type stuff. It's all of a piece. It all fits. Sometimes I just don't think we go far enough in telling in our attempts to describe how far they're willing to go, because I guess we're afraid of alienating people. What are you, crazy? These people, I know a lot of these people. They wouldn't do anything like that.
Certainly.
Look at the world. Look at the COVID policies. We actually witnessed it. Medical fascism. Lockdown. We don't do all the places I've ever heard doing lockdowns was in prison.
Yep.
Now think about that for a minute. They put lockdowns on the general public. And we witnessed it in real time. And it was policies that would impinge upon us. And almost always these prolonged periods of this sort of thing were done in areas reigned over by Democrats.
Yep.
They
New
call
Mexico.
Themselves Look at that fanatical wench, Kathy Hochul in New York. She was a fanatic. Her eyes were glittering. She'd come up with an amulet of a hypodermic needle wearing around her neck.
Yep.
Insisted you play a sound like it was a crucifix. These people, I don't think there will be a peaceful reconciliation with these people. And people were saying what they were saying about Marjorie Taylor Greene, and, you know, they were saying things about her, you know. And I can understand, I will admit some of her language is a bit intemperate for a congresswoman, but what I think she was trying to emphasize, and I believe she was, and if she wasn't, I'll put another spin on it for her, she was talking about federalism. That is the beauty of the United States and its country. We don't have to have one-size-fits-all regions for everywhere, particularly, dictated by the federal government in Washington, D.C. California doesn't have to be like Idaho. Idaho doesn't have to be like Massachusetts. Massachusetts doesn't have to be like Florida. Florida doesn't have to be like New Mexico. You know, they can all, as long as they keep the floor of the supreme law of the land, the Constitution in mind, and don't abrogate anything that's in that document. They are consistent with that document, particularly the Bill of Rights, and don't go below what is the threshold for citizens and their rights. Then you can legislate anything you want to. So then when that's, and you know, when it's like a Supreme Court said, abortion is not a matter for the federal government to be involved in. We had the Supreme Court had no business issuing an edict from seven robed jurists. That's up to you deciding in your own state. And states that want to have a regime, unlimited regime of baby killing, can pretty much have it. And other places, don't force Alabama to be like New York or California. That's what she was talking about. That's the only way to have any sort of reconciliation without, I think, perhaps a bloody civil war.
Yep,
and she's right. She's right. Because I don't want to live in a country where these people govern me the way they're doing so. I don't want to live in this country, and I never said this since I became a conservative, never. I don't want to live in a country governed by these people, these neo-Marxists who came within a hair's breadth of seizing total, absolute power. Because I think our lives literally be in jeopardy because I've seen the way progressives, neo-Marxists, when they get complete power, reign over their people, and it really winds up to some degree, greater or lesser, with extermination. Because everything they do is at odds with human nature. Everything about their belief system is at odds with human nature. That's why it never works.
Yep.
Look what's happening in South Africa now. The Marxists have taken over. The Marxists and the ANC, every president since apartheid ended, has been a Marxist. South Africa's getting ready to fall off the cliff. I don't know if you know been following or not, but I have. It's god-awful. That's why they're not reporting it much in the mainstream news.
No, you don't hear anything about it in the mainstream news, that's for sure.
No. Marxism kills. Neo-Marxism kills. Progressivism and extreme socialism kills. And, man, South Africa is really headed for the brink.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like one of the things that's going on here. You were talking about abortion things. Our evil governor has made it known that abortion in this state is allowed all the way up to and beyond birth. And she's gleeful about it. And she tried to push this whole thing by bringing in companies that would do it. And she tried to put them into the southern part of the state. Well, the southern part of the state's conservative. And they started passing laws in the counties and in the cities saying, no, this can't happen in our counties. This cannot happen in our cities. And now she's trying to concoct a law that says they don't have the right to do that.
Yeah, I love it the way they can seize on certain things to say ought to be unlawful, and things that are patently within the boundaries of your inalienable rights are not. It's astounding.
Yes. It just blows me away, the things they get away with. But they will, you know, and if the thing was turned around and went the other direction, they wouldn't allow it. If it went against them.
Well, you know, Tucker Carlson was talking last night about how Merrick Garland here, and he's Attorney General of the United States. You got a clear and uncontroverted statute that you are not allowed to protest at a federal judge's home, place of residence, with the intent to influence the outcome of their deliberations. It's clear as a bell. You had all kinds of people there clearly picketing, clearly in view, most of them not wearing masks. I guess they were proud of what they were doing. Trying to do exactly that. And the only thing he could point to was he arrested some guy for trying to assassinate the judge. Gee, well, you could knock me over with a feather. Gee, man, that must have took a lot of courage for you to do that, Merrick Garland. You arrest somebody trying to assassinate a United States Associate Supreme Court Justice. Man, I'm really impressed. In the meantime, the law on the books about not being allowed to picket at a judge's residence, he just totally ignored that one. They ain't even charged, as Ted Cruz pointed out, he hasn't charged one person yet with that offense. But they had to go back a year later and then arrest a Christian protesting outside an abortion clinic who shoved a punk who got in his 11-year-old son's face And then a year after the offense, when the local prosecutor declined to press charges against that Christian pastor, he's going to charge federally this man. And then that man got acquitted in the federal court by a federal judge, which is a rarity, because you don't get acquitted in federal judge unless you are clearly not guilty. Federal prosecutors got an almost perfect record of convictions.
Yeah, absolutely. I got a question for you. It came out of my chat room. Now, what's happened up in Chicago with Lori Lightfoot losing her bid for reelection? She has since claimed that it is racist that she didn't get this. But Bringing It Boy in the chat room said, you think Lightfoot is going to run for president since she's not going to be mayor anymore? And then he mentioned Lightfoot and Karine Jean-Pierre for 2024.
Yeah, they might get, the spouses might get jealous of each other. That might not be a good idea. But look, here's the thing that I got to say with reference to that. Now, I would like you to note that Lori Lightfoot was elected by a landslide in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want you to understand it. And Lori Lightfoot said that the reason she lost this time was because of MAGA Republicans. Do you realize there's not one Republican on the city council in Chicago? There hasn't been a Republican mayor in Chicago since 1954.
Yep.
Let me say that again. There ain't been a Republican mayor in Chicago since 1954. There ain't one Republican on the city council. There hasn't been one on the city council, I think, for 10 years. And then... You know, I guess it must have been in MAGA. Was it the same MAGA guys who beat up Jussie Smollett and put bleach on him and put a noose around his neck? But wait a minute, man. Look here. I think things are really going to look up for Lori, and I'm going to tell you why. Because you remember now, she took down the Columbus statue and got the Italian community in Chicago very upset with her. And she said the reason it was futile for them to go against her will, because she had a bigger unit than anybody in Chicago. Now, think about that for a minute. So I think that Lori Lightfoot can now go on to star in porno movies with her big unit, and she can call herself the Not Italian Stallion. And, hey, and dig this, man. Dig this now. And now she's also relieved of the title of being the worst mayor in the United States. Things are looking out for her because she will no longer be mayor.
I hadn't thought about it that way.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, you know, Chicago, remember, I lived and worked in Chicago as a police officer for 23 years. And, you know, the one thing about Chicago, okay, crime would go up and down, sure. There'd be spikes of crime, particularly homicide. But one thing about the Chicago police, because I work with them on a regular basis, I'm telling you right now, Chicago police never had, up until the death of St. George Floyd of fentanyl, Chicago police never, never had an inkling that they couldn't control the crime if it started to get out of hand. No matter how bad it was, they could at least give the public the perception that they could, even if they couldn't. And most of the time, they actually could make a significant dent and bringing it down and getting control of the streets and having criminals, generally speaking, being afraid to get arrested. Okay? The police could do that. They're very good at it. It's like New York police and most other big city police departments with a storied history. Okay? Even if there is corruption and all that, we understand that. But I'm talking about they know how to control. They know who's doing what. They got a network of informers. They know the players. They know the – I mean, most of the violent crimes done by recidivists, so they know where to start looking. They got that. But now, for the first time, I'm listening to officers I used to know who are telling me they've never seen anything like this, that they don't think it's possible, given the current climate, to get a handle on this, and it's only getting worse. It's an ever-descending spiral, and it's caused by the politics of this abysmally idiotic, moronic, hubristic, arrogant fool of a mayor who can't be accountable, who won't take responsibility for her actions and her horrid policies and her idiotic management, and seeks to deflect blame on others. The reason you should never put a Marxist or progressive in charge. They never take responsibility or accountability. And they're utterly arrogant, stupid, foolish, and hubristic. I mean, I've never seen anything like these people. But there they are. They're all over the place, governing everything. And they're all so smart because they all went to college, you know, and they got all these degrees. They'll just throw degrees on your face. That this proves, this should prove to you that we know better than you. I'm telling you, man, these people, good God. Look, I keep thinking to myself, man, and I, because, you know, I was, you remember, I don't know if you were there a night, that night I was on Sally's show and I was talking about the Battle of Athens in 1946. And, you know, and how these veterans coming home from World War II would not stand the corruption in the town any longer. It just got to be too much. And things boiled over. And the only successful armed rebellion in the history of the United States occurred then, in the summer of 1946 in Athens, Tennessee. And everybody knew it had to be done. The authorities never took any official action against anyone on either side of the battle, except one guy who shot a black man trying to exercise his right to vote in the back. Other than that, everybody just kind of turned a blind eye to it and said, let's forget all about this because we don't want to hype this up too much.
Absolutely. Now, one thing that I was thinking, and I did one of my updates this last week was about this, with Lori Lightfoot losing her position as mayor of Chicago. The same thing pretty much happened in New York. They got rid of a horrible person, but then they put one in that was equally as horrible, and then when the election came, she won again. Now, do you think Chicago's going to do this same thing?
Well, they got two leading candidates. One of them I know pretty well, Paul Vallis. Paul Vallis is a kind of a mainstream left-to-center Democrat. He's not insane and crazy. Big gun grabber, though. Oh, he's big gun grabber. He's all for grabbing every kind of gun that he doesn't like. So, but when it comes to letting the police do the job, I believe he'd probably be somewhere at least a centrist when it comes to getting crime under control. It's probably the biggest single issue in Chicago right now. Now, this other guy, Brandon Johnson, on the other hand, is a stone-cold, crazy BLM nutcase of a lunatic who shouldn't be allowed anywhere near the levels of power.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just beyond the pale, out of the question. But even he'd probably be better than Lori Lightfoot. I mean, it was not saying much, but there it is. So I think Vallis has got a commanding lead, and he's more likely to be the one who'll get over the finish line. I think he'll probably be the winner, but you never know in Chicago, and the corruption's off the chain, so who knows what's going to happen there.
Well, we can always hope.
I mean, I really hate Chicago. You know, even though it was run by Democrats, I had to admit it was well managed by the Democrats who ran it. I mean, for starting with Richard J. Daley, he was corrupt and he was a boss man, but he knew how to manage the city, keep the city services working, keep crime down, get businesses to locate there, keep people employed. You know, okay, he knew how to do that. His son even. I couldn't stand Richard Michael Daley. I couldn't stand him.
Mm-hmm.
But he kind of kept it going the same way. Even Blandick and that woman mayor, and I can't think of her name right now. I can't think of her name. Even they knew how to keep things. Just like Bloomberg did after Giuliani. You know?
Yeah.
Same thing. But Lori Lightfoot was just another species of a BLM Marxist. Remember, the founders of BLM said they were Marxists. They bragged about being Marxists. We trained Marxists. Not just amateurs. Mm-hmm. We're professional Marxists. And anytime you hear anybody who's willing to say this out openly, you need to put these people in a lifeboat and shove them out to the middle of the ocean. Tell them to paddle for some land somewhere.
Yep, and do it during a hurricane.
Yeah. Because I'm telling you, man, I don't think there's any philosophy in the history of mankind that's been more murderous and more destructive than Marxism and communism. Remember, communism is just another political expression of Marxism, so not strictly speaking Marxism. And there's never been a really Marxist state yet. There's always some kind of authoritarian form of combination of fascists and extreme socialists.
Oh, absolutely.
But still, communism is inspired by Marxism. So there we go. We know what you're going to have. You know what's going to happen when they get in power. You know what they're going to do? They're going to talk about things like you'll own nothing and be happy. Oh, World Economic Forum. Why yet? You own nothing, you'll be happy. It's unbelievable. We're gonna take you out of your car because of climate change. And what is climate change? Climate change, by the way, according to them, not me, they say that the reason we got to do all these draconian measures to change our economies, our lifestyle, and our way of living, and all mm-hmm. and impoverish millions and maybe kill hundreds of thousands or more. The reason we have to do this is because man-caused anthropogenic activity amounts to maybe 3% of the water vapor in the atmosphere and the carbon in the atmosphere. And that 3% that man causes is a tipping point. That's their argument. It's not mine.
Yep.
That's what they say. They say that because, most of it's natural and nothing you can do about it. We all know from the geological record that the Earth's constantly warming and cooling. It's just the natural cycles of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And the warmest period in the history of the planet was the Jurassic period, and there wasn't a human being around then.
Yep.
But, we're accelerating it. The 3% we may be causing is the tipping point accelerant. Man, look, this old green movement ain't nothing but a watermelon movement. Green on the outside is red on the inside. That's all it is.
Yep. I agree with you there. And heck, the volcanoes, like when Mount St. Helens flew, that put more ash and pollution into our atmosphere all around the world than what America is doing right now.
Yeah, I remember that reading about the reports on. They said that more particulate matter was introduced into the atmosphere by the explosion of Mount St. Helens, a completely natural, unpreventable event, than every single internal combustion engine invented and operated since the beginning of the internal combustion engine.
Mm-hmm. At the time when that happened, I was living here in Albuquerque, and I had a 1968 Ford Torino GT Fastback with seafoam green,
and
it was a beautiful car.
Oh, man. Yeah, I know.
And
I know.
What happened was 2 days after that happened, I had just washed my car. But I had just washed my car. The couple of days later, I came out, and there was this dust on my car, and I started to wipe it off. My dad says, don't do that.
But yeah, you kind of mess up your paint job.
Yeah. But even down here in New Mexico, we got it, and that was the opposite direction that the wind actually went, but it still hit us down here.
Well, yeah, these environmentalists are not only fanatical, they're silly, but they believe what they believe because, they've forsaken other religions. They got to find new socks. Man, one thing about human beings, if just because they cease to believe in a religion and or a God doesn't mean they will cease to believe in anything. And you adopt something else to substitute for your religion and your God. And environmentalism, Gaia, Mother Earth, is what many of them have adopted.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I've been informed that I've got about 10 seconds left on my show.
but shut up, then.
We can continue talking if you'd like.
Going.
Pardon?
Oh, are you going to keep Joe going?
Sure, why not?
Oh, okay. Well, I thought you were going to sign off, man.
Because
it sounded urgent there.
No, I was just... because when they announce that it's going to be like 10 seconds before the show, it comes over the speakers and it's louder than everybody else. So it's like my microphone's right there, so I'm sure you guys can hear it. But I never can when I'm listening to the show afterwards to find out. So I don't know. But everybody in the chat room no longer hears us.
Okay. Well, I tell you, another thing that really concerns me is really the situation in Ukraine. Ukraine is turning into a real meat grinder, and the Ukrainian The nation of Ukraine is being ground up so these corrupt oligarchs and globalists can use it as their sovereign laundromat to wash money through. And it's really a shame what's happening to those people there. They should be pressing them to negotiate because they are not going to win against the Russians. They're not going to get that eastern territory back.
Mm-hmm.
Not anytime soon. And right now they need to start negotiating with the Russians. And I'm not speaking up for Putin. I don't have any truck for Putin. I do not think he should have invaded. I think despite the provocations, and yes, there were provocations against the state of Russia, the Minsk Accords were violated. They were shelling ethnic Russians in Ukraine. They were committing atrocities against them. Since the Minsk Accords were signed, I believe 20,000 ethnic Russians had been killed in those regions. And among other things, along with his concerns about the expansion of NATO and a lot of other things, because after all, look, I would not expect our president to allow, say, the Warsaw Pact to have expanded into Mexico. Would you?
I wouldn't have thought that either.
Well, I wouldn't think so either. Back during the Cold War. And we know Putin's paranoid. We know he is.
Yep.
And, you know, and I remember, like, you know, when I was after I left Vietnam, I got sent to Germany, and I was in the turret of a tank on the Pull the Gap, because on the 3rd Armored Division, we were expected to meet the first waves of Russian, Soviet Warsaw Pact troops coming. They were going to use the Pull the Gap probably as their main invasion point, or at least one of them.
Yeah.
And they told us that we would survive perhaps 72 hours as we fell back to phase lines trying to trick the Soviets until the reinforcements in Operation Reforger got there or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They said we were done. Our goose is going to be cooked. I remember thinking to myself, man, we were constantly on exercises, and the morale in the Army really started to go down at that time because of, you know, Vietnam and all that. And, you know, and guys are looking around wondering about, you know, about the future there. And I know how the Russians fight. Now, I mean, I know it was the Soviet Union then, and it's the Russians, but they're still fighting the way the Russians fight. And they just line up mm-hmm. artillery hub, and they just pound you into submission. And then they do this thing they call the deep battle concept, which is kind of like the Blitzkrieg, but with bigger encirclements. And that's what they're doing in Ukraine. That's what they're doing in Ukraine now.
Yeah, and everybody's saying now it's a war of attrition, which is,
definitely does not favor Ukraine.
No, it does not.
Definitely does not favor Ukraine. So, and what's even worse, the prospect of us getting involved in World War III is really concerning.
Yeah, that with China and everything else, it's getting scary.
Man, I'm telling you. And like I said, I don't know if you ever read the Minsk Accords, but there were 12 main points in the Minsk Accords. And they were so sure an immediate bilateral ceasefire, because you had the ceasefire between the people who wanted to separate in the Republic and the Ukrainian armed forces.
Mm-hmm.
They were supposed to have monitoring, verification of ceasefire by the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. They were supposed to be monitoring the ceasefire. There was a decentralized power to ensure the monitoring of the Ukrainian-Russian border and verification by the OSCE with the creation of security zones in the border regions of Ukraine and the Russian Federation, release hostages and illegally detained persons, which I think they did. It was supposed to prevent the prosecution and punishment of people that were taking place in some areas of Donetsk and Luhansk, which are the two main areas Russia has pretty much got control over now, to ensure local elections with the Ukrainian law on a temporary order of local self-governance in particular districts there, to withdraw illegal armed groups and military equipment as well as fighters and mercenaries from the territory of Ukraine. That didn't happen. And to provide personal security for participants, you know, participants in all of these reconciliation processes. And that never really happened because Russian ethnic kept getting killed. Yeah, they were killing too. I mean, it was a brutal civil war. But the whole point of the Minsk Accords was to stop all of it. It never did.
Yep.
So Russian had a, I mean, so Putin had a casus belli, and he took advantage of it. Plus, he damn sure didn't want NATO on his border any more than we would have wanted the Warsaw Pact in Mexico.
Well, you know, the whole thing is, has Finland joined NATO now?
No.
Because that's right on his border.
Turkey quashed that one.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, Finland's not in NATO. NATO does exercises with Finland, though.
Yeah.
And Norway, too, and neither of them are in NATO.
Hmm. Yeah, because I was looking at that, you know, because Finland is no slouch when it comes to fighting.
Especially Russians.
Especially Russia.
Especially Russians, man. I mean, Russia's, I wouldn't be surprised if Russia still has a collective nightmare of what happened during the Winter War in 1940 when they went in there. I mean, the Finns, good God, the Finnish resistance. To the attempt
yeah, they went all the way within. They went all the way within just a few kilometers of Moscow or Stalingrad or something like that, and that's where they sued for peace. But
you know the Finns never actually did invade Russia, but. You know, when the Soviets breached the Mannerheim Line, they knew they had to come to some, and they only did that if they massively reinforced their efforts in Finland, mm-hmm. because the Finns were just stunning them with tactics they had never seen before: ski troops using submachine guns, snipers, flanking movements, ambushes like they'd never seen. We've never seen these kind of tactics done with the elan and spirit that the Finns were doing. I mean, they just had to. The Russians utterly. The Russians had over 400,000 casualties in 1 year.
Mm-hmm. In 1 year.
You know, Hitler took a look at that and said, "Oh man, now I know if they can't stand up against the Finns, what can they do against my powerful Wehrmacht?" I mean, he was more encouraged after he saw that. And to some extent, if you look at the first year of Hitler's invasion in Russia. His belief was kind of warranted. Nobody had ever seen military victories on that scale before, ever. Not before, not since.
Mm-hmm. Soviet,
not armies, not just armies, army groups. They took out mm-hmm. four whole Russian armies at Kiev. They took 660,000 prisoners at Kiev alone, 330,000 at Smolensk. Vyazma, another 150 or 250,000. Nobody's ever seen military victories like that in history of warfare before.
Yeah, and on top of that, you know, during the time that they were fighting this, Finland became the only country to ever pay off a war debt, and they paid it off to us while asking us for help, and we wouldn't do it.
We wouldn't do it, you know. But the point is that the Russians will throw manpower at a problem. When they got a authoritarian leader who's got near total control, like Stalin had total control, let's face it, he just did.
Mm-hmm.
His word was almost godlike. And he said not one step backward, and they had all these draconian punishments for retreat. Even men who were encircled and broke out of encirclements honorably, courageously, to get back to the units were suspect. Because of the Soviets and their damn paranoia.
Yep.
Oh, well, the only reason they got it, they got Germans letting go is they can spy on us. And these men who in any other nation would be treated as heroes were put
mm-hmm.
in penal battalions.
Yep.
It's unbelievable the Russians from that time, the Soviets from that time. It's unbelievable how cruel they were.
Yeah. And, you know what, when the Finns finally had to sue for peace, one of the terms of the peace treaty was to get Germany out of Scandinavia, and they got 6 weeks to do it, and they did it.
Yeah, they did, because, you know, they didn't want to lose their territory. They didn't want to be occupied by the Soviet Union, and they knew that was going to happen. Germany was losing a war. They had joined the Germans in the Continuation War in 1944
mm-hmm.
because they wanted the territory back that they had given up. They had to give up because of the Russian seizure of the Karelian Isthmus.
Yep.
And they wanted to get it back. Understandably, I mean, it was their territory. That's why when the Germans surrendered, they did not treat Finland as an enemy nation in the peace talks, because they understood Finland was kind of forced with a Hobson's choice, rock and a hard place kind of thing.
Yep, that's for sure. Yeah, my dad was from Finland, so I got a good dose of that when I was growing up.
No, I bet he did. I remember reading a fascinating story about this one guy named Larry Thorne. He's a legend in the United States Special Forces, Green Beret.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this guy is a Finnish soldier, and his Finnish name, I can't pronounce, it's Larissa something, Tornai, and he just anglicized it to Larry Thorne when he came to the United States. But I get this guy. This guy was a Finnish soldier who was highly decorated in his actions in the Winter War.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Continuation War, he joined the Waffen-SS and was commissioned as an officer in the Waffen-SS when he was a highly decorated enlisted man in the Finnish Army. And he fought in the Continuation War against the Soviet Union, again, highly decorated with the Iron Cross and a whole lot of other shit. And then when the war was over, you know, the Finns were considering charging him with some kind of crimes. Not that he was ever involved in any war crimes. There was no evidence he was ever involved in war crimes. But he decided, given the Soviet influence and the fact that he had been a member of the Waffen-SS, he decided he better split, and he went to the United States. And he joined the United States Army. Then he helped set up the Special Forces. And he was, again, highly decorated, fighting for the United States in Vietnam. And he died in Vietnam there, and he's a legend in American Special Forces. This guy's story is, you know, you might want to look up his story on the web. His name is Larry Thorne, T-H-O-R-N-E. That's his American name he took. His story's incredible. That's just incredible. He was a soldier.
Yeah. I'm writing that down now, T-H-O-R-N-E.
Yep, Larry Thorne. It is a legend in Special Forces. They even got a part of the post at Benning, I think it's at Benning, named for him. They got a series of complex of halls named for him in his honor.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll have to start looking up stuff like that, because my brother sent me a couple of years ago the book about the Winter War, and it's called The Winter War. So I really haven't opened it up yet, but I'm going to start looking into that stuff.
What's a fascinating story? The Finnish resistance against the Soviet onslaught was just epic. There's another way to put it. Epic. I mean, they were their resistance was one for the books, and it was truly an example of how a country can wage asymmetrical warfare against a much more powerful force and much larger numerically. And more powerful force. Plus the fact that the Soviet Union had its own booger bears with incompetence, like they regularly show, because Stalin had purged the Red Army of its most talented commanders in
1937. Mm-hmm. I read something about that.
They had a guy named Mikhail Tukhachevsky, who was Marshal of the Soviet Union, very brilliant innovator. He studied all over the world. He was highly regarded for his military intellect and his innovations like airborne operations and encirclement concepts. And he studied GFC Fuller's Blitzkrieg concepts and the German Blitzkrieg concepts, like books written by Rommel, infantry attacks, stuff like that. And the guy was really, really savvy. And because of that, because he was so charismatic, Stalin feared him. And the Germans, SD, under Reinhard Heydrich, the SS intelligence chief, planted a series of stories that they were some of these high-ranking Soviet officers and people in the Soviet Army, Red Army, were planning to take out Stalin in a coup. And Stalin wanted to believe it because he was suspicious of him anyway with his paranoid self.
Mm-hmm.
So the Russian army purged itself. They purged 50,000 members of their own army in the purges. 50,000. Most of them were executed or died in Siberian labor camps. And most of them were the most competent. The ones that replaced these competent, far-seeing leaders were political toadies that Stalin thought he could rely upon. And they were the ones who led Red Army into Finland. And ironically, as a result of that, Stalin said, well, I guess I got to reform my army. I went too far. And many of the reforms had taken place. It was the only thing probably that kept the Soviet Union from total collapse, that some of the reforms had started to take hold by the time of Operation Barbarossa when Hitler invaded the Soviet Union.
Yeah. Well, that has just been some really awesome stuff, and it's got me thinking about that book my brother got me, so I'm going to have to read it. But I'll look up Larry Page.
Oh, yeah, you got to read it. Yeah, if I tell you, you will be, especially when you read about Gustav Mannerheim, who was the commander-in-chief of the Finnish Armed Forces, brilliant general. His defense he organized was absolutely first rate. He knew the capabilities of his men. He knew the capabilities of the Soviet army, the Russian army, and he fought them as best as a country of 4.5 or 5 million people could do to a country of over 150 million. He did about the best job I think you possibly could do.
Yep. Yeah, the Mannerheim line was really something to.
Yeah, but once they breached the Mannerheim line, they knew it was over. There was nothing between the Soviets but in Helsinki to stop them anymore.
Yeah. Well, I sure appreciate you calling and tonight. You really made the show very interesting. And
I'm glad. Hey, you know, look, I think that in this time, all of us who have any knowledge about anything need to share it with other people who are conservative, so we can bring all this stuff to light, to end what's happening to the greatest nation in the history of mankind. I mean, these people are trying to destroy it in every way they know how to.
Yeah.
And anything we can do to help each other, we need to do.
Well, I sure appreciate
you calling.
Minimize
the infighting as much as possible. Minimize the infighting, you know, as long as you don't, abrogate your principles. Because we need to do something about what's happening in this country. I mean, this president is on a. He's not in the service of the American people.
No, I've been saying that since he first started running for president. He was not in the. He was not for us. He never has been.
No, has no intention of being.
But
none.
I'm glad you called, and I hope you call again.
Oh, whenever I get the opportunity, because I'm kind of busy around this time doing a lot of stuff, but, whenever I get the opportunity to, I definitely will. Trust me.
Okay, that's great. But I'm gonna have to end the show because I'm not sure what happens in the third hour in this thing, because all of a sudden I can be going along, and then it's all of a sudden it'll just stop.
Yeah, by the way, I got that book, too, The Winter War. Is it a paperback book?
Yes, it is, uh-huh.
Yeah, I got it. I just haven't gotten around to reading it yet, but, because I already know a fair amount about the Winter War, but I've read a lot of good things about this book, and I intend to read it, especially now given what's going on in Ukraine, kind of as a backdrop to the way the Soviet Union operates, and to some extent a lot of these characteristics have carried over into the Russian Empire, I guess you'd call it.
Absolutely.
The new Russian Empire. Yeah, and like I said, you might want to look up Larry Thorne, because like I said, he's an incredible story. It really
is.
Larry
Thorne,
one soldier. I mean, he was one hell of a soldier. There's no two ways about it. Fought under three flags, the Finnish flag, the German flag, and the United States flag. But he was mainly because he was anti-communist. He hated the communists.
Yep. Communism. We've got to start doing the same thing, hating communism, because it's sure being trying to push into this country right now.
Yeah. I'm just looking at the Google on my computer, and, they got a lot of stuff on Larry Thorne here. There's a lot of stuff you'll see about him, and you have to admit, is a remarkable thing. They got a side-by-side picture of him as an Untersturmführer in the Waffen-SS and as a first lieutenant in the United States Army. Side-by-side pictures, you got SS uniform and the United States uniform.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look that up. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, yeah, also a lot of stuff. Well, just put it up in Google. I saw all kinds of stuff on this guy. Because it is an epic life. And somebody ought to do a movie about it.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of surprised that somebody hasn't.
Well, you know, there's that thing about him serving in the SS.
But, yeah.
I mean, look, they've done movies on Himmler and Reinhard Heydrich, so why not him?
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, you have yourself a good night, and God bless you, and I'll talk to you next time, hopefully.
Okay. Your best.
Yeah. Have a good one.
All right, bye.
Bye. Okay, that was really great, and I enjoy it when he comes in. We're going to have to end the show now, but thank you, everyone who came in. Duck Northwest was in there, Sarge, of course. Bringing It Boy was there, and I will talk to you all next week. My show will be at the normal time, and I will see you all next week. God bless you. God bless America, and have a good weekend. God bless you all.